All right. Good morning. Welcome to Stuttgart Harvest Church. I am so glad that you're here this morning. So for our young folks who are here today, I want to give you a very important piece of information. As I look back on my life at my dating decisions that I have made in my past, students, young adults, well, I guess any adult, really, this really matters. These decisions. The focus of your other, whoever your other is, the focus of your other will impact the direction of your life every single time. Not sometimes, every single time. And I look back at my life and I can see, as strong as I thought that I was, as determined as I was to follow Jesus, they altered the course of my life simply because I was connected to them in a dating relationship. And it led to some of my greatest pain, some of my biggest regrets in life. And other people were probably looking at my life and they were probably thinking, Harley, what are you thinking? How dumb can you be? And I don't know if you're like me, and it may not be with dating, it may be with some other decision, but there are times in our lives where we just simply make some really dumb decisions. We have all, in some way, made some sketchy decisions that later in life we regretted. We've all done some stuff that after the fact, we look back and we wonder, how could I have been so stupid. We look at things that we shouldn't have bought. We look at leases we shouldn't have signed, people that we should not have moved in with. We look at a person we shouldn't have married, a person we shouldn't have dated, a person maybe that we shouldn't have married on that second time or that third time. And if we're honest, and we look at ourselves, we know that the common denominator in all of those bad decisions was me. Because everywhere you go, there you are, every single time. So naturally, we ask ourselves, what's wrong with me? Because we think back and we know that job that we should have never taken, that house we should have never bought, that person we should have never texted, that person we should have never dated. And we ask ourselves, how could I be so foolish? How could I be so naive? How could I be so dumb? Because we look at our lives and we see how it has ended up, and we're asking ourselves, how could I have made that decision that led to that destination? You see, as we look at other people's lives, we can see some of the dumb decisions they're making because it's so obvious to us. But when we look at our own lives, for some reason, we just can't see that in our own lives. It's very possible that if you're like me, the decisions that you regret the most may have happened after you started following Jesus, after being united with Christ. And so we begin to think, what gives? Why do I struggle like that? Why is it so difficult for me to walk out my beliefs day in and day out? Why is it so easy to notice sketchy decisions in other people, but not in ourselves? Well, we know the very fact even that you're here today, there's probably something inside of you that says, I know I'm supposed to walk in this life more and more like Jesus. But if you're like me, you find yourself failing over and over and over. And sometimes we try to ignore that and just say, I'm not going to be worried about it. But I want you to know, God doesn't ignore it. I can ignore it, but God doesn't ignore it, which is why the Apostle Paul has spent so much time warning these Gentile Christ followers that we've been studying in this letter for the past 6 weeks, including today. And he warns them over and over and over again. So in the first 3 weeks, Paul gave us our first posture towards God. And that first posture, we said, is a posture of sitting with Christ, being seated with Christ. We'll talk about that again in just a moment. But the next 3 weeks, including this Sunday, we've talked about that second posture that Paul gives us. And that second posture is us walking. It is our behavior and our decisions, and Paul describes that as our walk, our following Jesus. And this second posture is just as serious as the first posture, and it is really serious to God. So I want to read to you, this is where we're picking this up today, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at several verses in this, but here's the one I want to start with. Paul says, "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins." In other words, this sin that Paul is talking about, apparently this is serious to God. And he says, don't be fooled. There's going to be people who try to excuse these sins. But then Paul goes on to say, "But for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him." And now here's what comes to my mind. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought that these sins had all been forgiven, that they had all been handled and taken care of. And so now that Paul is saying this, I think maybe we should probably take a look and see, what is Paul referring to? So that's what we're going to do. So Paul lists several sins here, and we need to understand the sins that he lists are not all the sins, they're just some of them. But before Paul gives us this very specific list of a handful of sin, Paul throws out, he casts this giant net that scoops all of us up into this net, because here's what Paul says first. So let's jump back to verse number one in chapter five. Here's what Paul said. He throws this big net out. He says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do." So it's not imitating God in some things. It's imitating God in every word, every facial expression, absolutely everything we do. Paul says we are to imitate God. And then he says, "Because you are his dear children." In other words, Paul is saying, remember, don't forget, you have been adopted into the family of God by Christ. You've been adopted. And he said, so now that you're part of the family, he said, act like it. Act like you're part of God's family. All right? So he said, imitate God. Now here's what he says in verse 2. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He goes on, "He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." So, as we imitate God, he just gave us the standard. The standard that we have is this, the ultimate standard. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice. He said, there is your ultimate standard in imitating God. He goes on. Verse 3. Let there be no... Okay, here comes this list. Okay, here's the list he gives us. Not all the sins, some of the sins. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. I want you to know, we talk about these things in great detail in the book. And so just to remind you, that book is free to you. You can download it for free. If you need a printed copy of the book in a 3-ring binder, let me know. All you have to do is cover the cost of that copy. But if you can download a PDF and read it from your Kindle or read it on your phone or your computer, do that. It's free. And you can find that at our worship guide, online worship guide. Go to our website. Go all the way down to the bottom. It says online worship guide. Click that. On there, you'll find that free book, 61-day book. and it's all there for you free. We go into great detail about all of these, every verse in Ephesians, okay? All right, so he says, these sins have no place among God's people. Verse 4, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you, Paul says. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure, verse 5, that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. I'm going to read that verse again, and then I want to remind you first, we talk about this in great detail in the book. This is something you need, I would hope you want to understand. You can be sure that there will be no immoral, impure, or greedy person. No immoral, no impure, no greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. Okay. Apparently, something really serious is going on here. And he goes on. Paul says, for a greedy person is an idolater worshiping the things of this world. Okay. So now all of this is just helping us get to where we're going today. So if you want the breakdown of those verses, please download that book for free and read it. So now with those five verses as our context for what Paul said in the very first verse we read today, let's look back at that verse. It's verse number 6, and let's try to better understand what Paul is teaching. So back to verse 6. So after all of that he just said, we are to imitate God. The standard is Jesus Christ. And then here are some sins. And then he says, verse 6, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. In other words, the people who live and they choose to live the way that they want to live, they always have a reason for living the way they want to live. We all do. Anytime we choose to live our way instead of God's way, we have a reason that we do that. We have a reason where we say, this is what I want, and here's why. So sometimes the reason is a person will look at God's standard in Scripture, and they will say, that's not actually what Scripture is saying. I mean, I know it says, don't be sexually immoral, but that's not what it really means. So that's not really the standard. I know it sounds like the standard, but it's not really the standard. And then some people will look at that and they'll say, okay, listen, I don't think that you understand what Paul is really talking about. You don't understand it. So some people say, oh yeah, okay, it's just not my standard. And some people say, oh, you just don't understand what he's really trying to say. You don't understand the standard. That really isn't the standard. But Paul is really, really, really clear. And he lets us know. He said that there is that any reason or excuse that we can come up with for any behavior or any action, any words, any thoughts that are non-God or non-Jesus ways of walking or behavior or living, any excuse is empty. And Paul says, don't be fooled by any excuse. Don't buy into it. The excuse, Paul says, is false. And he goes on, verse 7, don't participate in the things these people do. Because Paul just made that standard very, very clear. He said, imitate God. Follow the ultimate example of Jesus. And then he says, nothing else is okay. He goes on, verse 8. For once you were full of darkness. And because we were full of darkness, guess what we did? We did dark things because we were full of darkness. For once you were full of darkness. In other words, before you united your life with Jesus, Paul is saying you walked in darkness, just like everybody else did. But Paul is saying that was then. That was before you were adopted into the family of God. He says, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Verse 9, for this light is within you. So here's what Paul is saying. God's Spirit is now residing inside of you. The light of Christ is now inside of you. And he says, and it produces what is good and right and true. Here's what we said last week. When you submit your life to the care and the control of Jesus, there's something from outside of you that gets inside of you in that moment. And once it's in you, it produces something out of you that flows out of your life and onto the world around you. So here's what that looks like. By faith, and we talked about this in weeks 1, 2, 3, by faith, you fall into the grace of Jesus. God's Spirit takes you and he sits you with Jesus, and he places his light inside of you. And now with that light inside of you, it's something from the outside that now moves inside of you, and it produces something out of you. And all of that that I just described is his work. It's change from the inside out. But now, God gives you something to do with this new change. With all this change that's taking place inside of you, God gives you something very specific to do, and this is where we're going to land today, not land the teaching. We got a little bit more to go. We're going to land here on this verse and this concept. This is what we're talking about today. What is it that he has for you to do right now in this moment? And here it is. He tells us clearly in verse 10. So carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Carefully determine. So as Paul is writing this letter and it's being read from church to church to church, he's saying, okay, Ephesian, okay, Galatian, Laodicean, Corinthian, okay, you Greek and you Jew, and over there in Arkansas, you Malvernian, and here you Stuttgartian, and I just visited with some folks this morning, you Carlisleans, right? He says, this is for you. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. That is a job for you right now and for the rest of your life. See, with his light inside of you, he's saying, use that light so that you can see things more clearly. And again, Paul has listed for us some very specific ways of walking in this life, behaviors in this life. But he hasn't listed everything. There is still so much more to this life in following Jesus. So he hasn't listed everything. And that's why he says now, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. There is so much more to trusting and imitating God. In fact, Paul unpacks this whole concept of all these things to do to imitate Christ and imitate God. He unpacks this throughout all of his letters that he wrote. But this standard is so big, it can't be summarized by a to-do list. That's why we don't really have a to-do list in how to follow Jesus and what ways to walk like Jesus. Because the standard isn't actually a list of right and wrong. The standard is a person. How does God live? And to know that, we have to answer this: what did Jesus do? See, the standard is the cross. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to determine what would please God in each and every moment, and then take that step and determine next what will please God in this moment, and then take that step. See, in doing that, you are choosing a path that is going to lead to a very specific destination. And you know what that destination is? A life that pleases God. With the power of His Spirit lighting the way, Paul now says this in verse 11, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Again, we talk about this in the book. Verse 12, it is shameful to even talk about the things the ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. Verse 14, for the light makes everything visible. In other words, His light, the light of Jesus, it exposes everyone's walk for what it really is. Paul goes on, this is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. All right, now, after all of that, Paul says, in light of everything I've just told you, here we are now in verse 15, in light of all of that, so be careful how you live. And that word careful means stop what you're doing. Be cautious. And in order to be careful, you must look all around your life. Look all around you. Stop. Because all of your decisions are connected. Each decision you make is a step. And every step is pointing you and leading you in a very specific direction. And your direction in life, one step at a time, is taking you to a very specific destination in this life. And so Paul says, be very careful, be cautious. That would mean we are right to wonder, how did I end up here in life? Why did I make that huge mistake? Why did I date that person back there? Why did I buy that house? Why did I make that decision? Because where I've ended up is not where I thought I would be. So this works both directions. And Paul is saying, because of that, it can work for good or it can work for your harm. And Paul is saying, if you are united with Christ, you must live differently. Another translation of this same verse describes it like this, because every decision is connected and every decision is leading you to a very specific outcome. If I decide this, I'm headed this way. If I decide this, my life is headed this way. And so here's another translation of the same verse, verse 15. Paul says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, to how you step, to what step you are taking. Christ follower, pay careful attention to every decision of every moment that you make, because you are making progress in a specific direction, either for good or for harm. So Paul says, so pay careful attention then to how you walk. And he goes on, not as unwise people, but as wise. Now, a few weeks ago, Paul told us that if you sit with Jesus, if you have fallen through faith into the grace of Jesus, then something inside of your life is there at work. And we could describe this by just saying Jesus fills your life. Jesus fills your life. And if you are not full of him, you can never overflow Jesus to the rest of the world around you, which I believe is why Paul is imploring these Christ followers by saying, if you are wise, if you will listen to my instruction, this seeking after this fullness of Jesus inside your life will happen sooner. But if it doesn't, if you choose not to, then later you will find out how foolish that actually was. Because our decisions compound. They grow. They add to one another and they grow like compound interest. Your decisions compound. Your decisions will grow more and more wise. They compound, or your decisions will grow more and more foolish to your harm. And that's why Paul is saying, pay careful attention to how you walk. Be wise and allow those things, that wisdom, to compound in your daily life. And so Paul says, be careful, pay attention to how you walk. Verse 16, making the most of time. Now, this side of heaven, time is absolutely finite. The second that just clicked off the clock, we can never get back. It's gone. That second is gone. You'll never get it back. It's finite. We can't jump into the future. We can't go back in the past. All we have is right now, each second, each moment right now. It's finite. There's no getting it back. Once it's gone, it is gone. That's this side of eternity. And everything on this side of eternity, and I do mean everything, comes down to a moment in time, and it's the moment you have right now, and right now, and right now. Meaning that what you do and what you decide, your actions and your behavior and your thoughts in every single moment are going to impact the next moment. The moments are connected from one moment to the next. It impacts. Now, this works in both directions. Wise living and making the most of every single moment will compound and lead in a specific direction. Or making unwise decisions are going to compound moment by moment and lead in a harmful way in your life. And that's why Paul says, the question is not, what do I want to do in this moment? That's the wrong question. What is going to make me happy in this moment? What is going to please me in this moment? Wrong question. Paul says, determine what God wants you to do. Determine what pleases God, not Harley. God, not you. God, not you. Determine what God wants you to do with each moment. And when you do, that compounds over time as you move in that direction with your life. Today, some of us today are living with consequences of decisions that were made way back here. Way back here. And those decisions compounded and compounded one after another, moment by moment. And now we find ourselves in this place, in this spot, and we're saying, I don't like this. I don't like where I am. I don't like where I've ended up. I don't like what I've become. I don't like what is going on. I don't like it. And we're living with those consequences for compounded decisions for years and years and years. But I want you to know, please hear this. It is not too late. Hear from someone who has found themselves at points in his life where he said, I don't like where I've ended up. I want you to know, it is not too late for you. You are not too bad. You are not too far gone. It is not too late. While time is finite and irreplaceable, time is redeemable. We read a translation that said, make the most of your time. There are some other English translations which also accurately translate it, redeeming, redeem your time. In other words, buy back your time. So while we can't go back and undo things or replace time, we can redeem time, which means you can't get time back, but you can redeem your time, to which you might be asking, Harley, okay, because that's what I need to do. How do I redeem my time? And I am so glad you asked. Redeeming time before you make that next decision today, and I do mean before you make that next decision today. To redeem your time, Paul told us how. He said, stop, be cautious, be careful. And since Paul said redeem time, we experience time on this side of eternity in three ways. The first way we experience time is our past. All those things have already happened. They're already done. Decisions we've already made, things we've already done, steps we've already taken, words we've already said, documents we've already signed. All those things we can't take back. But Paul says it's not too late to redeem the time, to make something of that time. Some of our greatest mistakes have happened back there. And so Paul is saying, be careful, be cautious, stop before you make that next decision and look backwards at those decisions of your past. The good ones, yes, pay attention to those. And also pay attention to the bad ones. Look at those decisions and be wise and say, in light of what happened back there, what I chose back there, or what someone else chose and thrust upon my life that I didn't ask for, but it happened back there. In light of all of that experience and all those things that I did or other people did to me, in light of all of that experience, what is the wise thing to do right now in this moment with this next decision? In light of my past experiences, how can I please God with this decision right here? That's huge. Paul is telling us how to redeem our time. So we experience time from our past, but we also experience time in this current moment that we have right now. How do we redeem time in this moment right now? So Paul is saying, stop, be careful, be cautious before you make this decision. Look back. But now look right now at what is going on in your life right now. Are you feeling hurt? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling unloved? Are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling anxious? Are you afraid? Because all of those feelings might lead you to make a decision that you regret later. So you must stop and be cautious and be careful about your time right now. What is happening right now in your life? Are you reacting to someone who has hurt you? And your reaction might not be the right reaction. Stop. Be careful. Look all around your life before you make this next decision. And look at this moment right now and be wise. In light of my current circumstances, what decision in this moment will please God? So we experience time in three ways, this side of eternity: our past, our present, and our future. You want to redeem your time? Then before you make that next decision today, stop and be careful and look down the road. What has God placed in your life as your future hopes and dreams? And let me reword this. I think this is a better explanation. What are God's future hopes and dreams for you? What are God's hopes and dreams for you as a mother or a father or an aunt or an uncle or a friend or a spouse? What are God's dreams for you? What does God want for your future? And before you make that next decision, stop and be careful, be cautious, and look all around you. And look toward that future and what God wants for your life. And in light of those future hopes and dreams that God has for you, what decision right now will please God? What I've just described for you here and what Cole is describing in Malvern today is the principle of the path. Because your decisions determine your destination in this life. No matter how we have blown it, my friends, we can begin right now to redeem our time if we will ask ourselves this question before every decision, moment by moment by moment. This is not a one-time-for-all decision. It's not a once-a-week decision. It is every decision, moment by moment. In light of my past experiences, in light of all of those things, all that junk and all the good stuff, in light of all of that, what has happened to me before, what habits I have repeated over and over, what mistakes I have repeated over and over, and what has happened to me, what other people did to me, in light of all of that, and in light of my current situation, what I'm experiencing right now, what I'm feeling right now, and in light of the future hopes and dreams that God has for my life, what decision right now in this moment will please God? In light of all of that, Paul says, in light of everything that I've just told you in the first 4.5 chapters, what is the wise thing to do? What will please God? And Paul says we are responsible to carefully determine what pleases the Lord in this decision and do that. If we will buy back our time, redeem our time like that, we will always be in a position to be used by God, our lives to be used by God the way God wants to use our lives to overflow onto the world around us. We will always be a tool in the hand of God. When we look at Paul's life, that's what we see. That's what Paul was, always ready to be used by God in every single moment that he came to. He didn't have to get ready. He was already ready. Have you ever wondered, what does our world need from us right now, today? What does Stuttgart need from you? England need from you? Carlisle need from you? Humphrey need from you? DeWitt need from you? Hazen need from you? What does Hominoke need from you right now, today, this very moment? And based upon the totality of Scripture, as best that I can tell, the world doesn't need better elected leaders. That's not what the world needs. They don't need better laws that reflect God's desires. That's not what they need. What the world needs right now in this moment, they need God's adopted children to be ready instruments filled by him and walking overflowing lives to every single person they come into contact with every single day. That's how we do the good things that he planned for us, his church, long, long ago. And our church family at the church in Malvern, and our church family right here, Stuttgart Harvest Church, the time is right now. There is an urgency in Paul's voice as he writes this letter, because Paul says next, because the days are evil. Paul is saying the situation is desperate. And for some of us, God may deal drastically with us individually to shake us up and to make us ready instruments in the hand of God. And in verse 17, Paul writes, so don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 18, he says, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit. I want you to know that what God starts, he finishes. Which is why Paul and why Cole in Malvern today and why me right here this morning want to make this point come across so clearly in June as we have tried, and now in this month of July. Paul is urgently saying we must quickly understand the hope of his calling and then walk, run as those who understand the will of the Lord and do that. As we end today, I want to make sure you understand what we're talking about and what Paul is writing about is not a Jesus and you thing. It's not a Jesus and me thing. Because as Christ followers, he has placed us in a new family. It is not you and him and that's it. No, you are in a new family. And in this new family, we share with all other followers of Jesus a mutual dependence as part of his ecclesia. We're going to talk a lot about that in August, as part of his gathering, as part of his church. And the church in the hands of God is the instrument that he is using today here on earth. And it's by his design and by his choice. And now Paul ends this section by saying this. In verse 19, we're up to, he says, be filled by the Spirit. Then he says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we come to our ending today. And as we close today, Cole and I, we don't have much that we're offering to you in the form of a next step. Although I do want to say this, I pray that as part of your next step, if you have not already, you will download that free book, not because it's written so wonderfully, absolutely not. It'll probably put you to sleep, but download the book so that you can better understand verse by verse all the way through this entire letter that Paul wrote. I hope that will be one of your next steps. And I hope today that you will be encouraged by, before you make that next decision, and then that next, and then that next, that you will stop and be cautious and look all around your life and look to your past and look to your current situation and look to the future hopes and dreams that God has for your life and ask yourself, what will please God in this decision? And do that. And now, as we end, we're just going to do what Paul asked us to do. Right now, together, we're just going to invite you. Paul said, to be filled by the Spirit, doing this, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Stuttgart Harvest Church, for the next few minutes, that's what we're going to do. Let's end here. Let's sing and worship our Savior together. Let's pray. God, we ask that you help us to redeem our time. Help us to determine what pleases you in every single decision. Help us to determine that what pleases you. Help us to look back at our past and help us to understand what went on there. Help us to look at our current situation. And help us to look at the future hopes and dreams that you have for us, God. And now may we determine what pleases you, God. And may we do that moment by moment. May we learn to do that with every single decision, every opportunity, no matter how small. And now in this moment, we're going to worship you together as your body, as the church, Jesus. We adore you, and it's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.